I have come to equip you. You are the last day in saints who will stand for my uncompromising word of truth. So receive what I have for you so that you will be equipped to give. Because there is not only a lost and dying world, but there is a church that is encased, and you, with the uncompromising truth, can free them. And by my Spirit, they will hear and heed, and from within will be ignited in their inner man with fervent heat, and the light of the Spirit of God will come forth to break out of that shell and encasement of the lies of the doctrine that they have fallen into because they have listened to the compromise of faith.
Amen.
But you will hear the truth and go forth with the pure gospel and give unto men what they need in order to stand in these last days. This is an equipping.
For just as a building needs a foundation before it can be adequately built, in this room, a foundation of my presence and my glory has been laid not just for this day, but for this week. For through your worship, my glory has been released and will continue to be released as you worship me. This is a divine appointment, and I have known from before the foundation of the world that these days were coming, and I have prepared a great and mighty work to be released in your midst. There are those of you who have struggled with sin. There are those of you who have been fighting habits and behaviors that my word defines as sin. And I have spoken to you about this. And I say to you this day, I want you to see this day and this week as a time of new beginnings. If you will repent from the very depths of your heart, repent from these things, lay them aside and do not pick them up again, I will take you from this place with a renewal and a refreshing in your spirit that you have never known in your life. There are things that you have not shared with other people. And there are things that other people know about but have not said anything. And I say to you, this week is a time of renewal. It is a time of refreshing. It is a time for a new beginning. And what I seek to do is to deposit into every person who attends these services something new and something fresh from my Spirit that you will be able to take back with you and spread to those you know, to your churches, through my anointing and my glory that is released in you and through you. So take everything very seriously during these days and this week and in these services. There will be the joy of the Lord to strengthen you, and there will be the peace that passes all understanding released to guard your hearts and minds. And I say unto you, open up to me. Open up to me and receive everything that I have prepared to release during these services. This is not wasted time. This is glory time. And I am prepared to release as the Spirit of the Lord. For the things that you have seen, the things that you have witnessed over the last few years, judgment coming upon those who have been serving me. The things that you have witnessed and transpired and wondered what is happening. And in my word, I have told you that judgment begins in the house of the Lord. I am bringing my church to a higher level of accountability. All things must be purged that are not of me.
But it is by your fellowship with the Holy Spirit that the purging can be made complete. For my Holy Spirit will reveal those things to you that you do not yet know need to be purged. And He will show these things to you. For there are many in my church who have a very difficult time understanding how that they can live the life that my Son lived while on this earth. But yet I have said in my word to be holy even as I am holy. And because I have said that, it is possible. And so I am raising my church to a higher level of accountability. And yet I am not leaving you at that place. I will work with you so that you can meet what is necessary for your own life as you are accountable unto me. I have given to you my Holy Spirit to help you in these matters. Many have rejected the teachings about the Holy Spirit and how He will work with you. Many have rejected what I have clearly shown in my word about praying in tongues and what it will do for you. But I say unto you, crucify those things that are not of me and not of my word. Fellowship with my Holy Spirit. And as you do, those things which need to be purged, those things which need to be changed, they will be changed. And you will come to a place of understanding a greater level of my joy and my peace and my strength in you than you have ever known. You will come to the place of walking at a higher level of fellowship with me, and you will continue to grow in the direction of walking at the same level that my Son walked. The level of peace, the level of strength, the level of joy, the level of fellowship with me that He had. You too can have this. So seek me through your prayer. Seek me through your worship. Seek me through my word. Seek me even through your fasting. For I am prepared to reveal myself unto you in a most magnificent and wonderful and glorious way. I have great things in store for you. So seek me and allow me to reveal these things unto you so that you can experience the depths of my glory, says the Spirit of grace. I want to read something to you out of Proverbs. And in Proverbs chapter 8, and in verse 12, it says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Now, before I go any further, wisdom is identifying, and I'll just say it this way, itself. Now, when you really begin to dig into this, you find out that wisdom really is the Holy Spirit that is speaking to us. And if you'd like a breakdown on that and detailed teaching on you, well, how do you know that, you know, wisdom, that this is the Holy Spirit and so forth? Well, I have a teaching series entitled... Now, see, we don't charge for these things, all right? You know, you order the CDs and whatever, we don't charge for them. But I have a teaching series on operating in the wisdom of God. And that's one of the reasons why these green pieces of paper are so valuable. But in it, I break all this down and go through passages of Proverbs and then the New Testament to show this is really the Holy Spirit speaking. Now, listen to this. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. People that say, well, God's never around when I need him. He says right here, those that seek me early shall find me. And he goes on to say, riches and honor are with me, and durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Now, here's what's interesting, without going into any great detail, where he says in 18, riches and honor are with me. Part of what he's talking about are material things and finances. Riches and honor are with me. But then he goes on to say, look, it's not just about the world's wealth and material things. You need to understand my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold. My fruit is better than choice silver. What I give to you is going to be better than these things, but I can still give you these things too. And he says, I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. Now listen to this. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Another word for treasures is depository. If ever there was a time that we needed a passage like this, there it is. But here's what's interesting in this. Wisdom is speaking and saying, I can do this for you. I'm wisdom. And let me just summarize it this way. If you will key into me, then I, wisdom, can release an anointing of wisdom, counsel, and understanding that will help you come to the place of having what you need in this world. I will release blessings into your life. I, wisdom. But you have to seek me to get it. Now, I'm going to use myself as an example. I'm going to share with you one of the greatest financial blunders in human history, and I made it. Over 20 years ago, probably about 23 years ago, I think it was, I was on staff at a church. And they called me the accountant, but basically I was just a bookkeeper, and I oversaw all the finances and so forth. I'm not a CPA. Well, one day while I was in my office, I got a phone call. And the phone call was from like a stockbroker, an investment counselor. He says, Jim, I've got an opportunity for you. Now, before I go any further, I want, Kathy and I don't have bazillions of dollars in the bank for investments. So whenever I got these phone calls to invest, I'm thinking, you know, these guys are wasting their time because they're going to want me to drop, you know, $10,000, $15,000, and it ain't happening because it ain't there. Well, anyway, this guy calls. He says, Jim, I've got an investment opportunity for you. I said, okay, well, what is it? He says, well, it's something new that's getting ready to be released here in the United States. I said, okay. Well, what is it? He said, well, let me try and explain it to you. It's like portable telephones that people are going to carry with them everywhere they go, and there are going to be these towers built all over the country. And when people use their portable phones, the signal from the portable phone will go to the tower, and then the tower will send it to another tower and to another tower so that you can call anybody anywhere with these portable phones. And the company that he was telling me about was a company that was going to be new to the United States called Nokia. And now listen to this. If I remember correctly, he quoted me $3.24 a share. Now, as I'm listening to him tell me this, in my mind I'm thinking, this is the dumbest thing I've ever, portable telephones. And in my mind, I'm thinking these, you know, big hunky things hanging from, you know, hello. I'm having a hard time envisioning this. But what if I had been walking in Proverbs 8 wisdom? Do you understand that phone call was an opportunity for me to get in on the ground floor of something that has changed civilization? And I brushed it off. Can you see God up in heaven saying, ooh, 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 I am trying to get this into your life. I blew it. Now, granted, I could probably only have put down maybe $500 or $1,000 at that time as an investment. But just think of what that investment would be worth today. Even the way things have happened in the stock market, that was a golden opportunity. And wisdom was trying to get it across to me. And I blew it. Wisdom will do this for anyone. If I had been, verse 17, seeking wisdom early, then wisdom would have been found by me And I could have been walking in that wisdom, and I could have heard God say, Jim, don't blow it. This is an opportunity, a major opportunity. Well, I blew it, and I'm still kicking myself today. But one of the things that I find so interesting in all of this, not one time does wisdom mention, oh, and by the way, for me to work in your life, you better sow a seed. You better give an offering. You better put in your tenth. It's not in there. Wisdom says, hey, just seek me and I can be released unto you and I will show you how to make it in this world. One of the worst things that can happen right now in this economy is for Christians to panic. Yes, but my stocks, I know this. Your stocks have gone down. Wisdom says, but I can fix it. Hey, listen, think about it. What is the next Nokia? It's getting ready to happen. What's the next? 30 years ago, if somebody had told you about some college dropout named Bill Gates who had this weird idea about DOS, what does that mean? Digital operating. What's the next Microsoft? They're out there right now getting ready to be released into the world. What are they? Where are they? Wisdom says, hey, I'll give you the counsel for this and I'll help you out. And I will work in your life to bring about blessings. Wisdom is not promising every one of us a 10,000 square foot house, four or five Cadillacs, and gold bars in the basement. That's not what wisdom is saying. Wisdom is saying, but I have access to all of these things and I can work it out so that your life can be blessed. But you have to seek me. We're going to receive an offering. You say, yeah, I figured that one out. Offering envelopes are there in the pews, right? There should be plenty of them there. The point I'm trying to make is this. I've been in camp meetings before. I've been in, you know, revival services and all this, where they hammer you and hammer you and hammer you for money. And they'll get up and they'll talk about how the Lord revealed to me there's a double portion anointing on this offering today. Take advantage. And on it goes. And I want you to know something. That's not wisdom speaking. It's just manipulation to get more money. If you give today out of the leadership of the Lord or what you purpose in your heart, it doesn't mean God's going to love you anymore. And giving is not going to cause you to access wisdom anymore. Seek wisdom, interpretation. Spend time with the Holy Spirit. He is the wisdom of God, and He will release that wisdom unto you to help you on a day-by-day basis, no matter what it is you're facing. As you're giving this morning, if you're writing a check, you can just make it out to GCC. And I can tell you this, your obedience to God is the key. Not pressure, your obedience to God. And I thank you so much for that obedience. And I'm just going to say this, if God has spoken to you and for whatever reason has said, well, I don't want you to give in this offering, be obedient to Him. Say, but Brother Martin, there are expenses in the conference. I know that. But my God supplies all my need. Listen, if God's put this conference together, I think He knows how to supply the money that's necessary for the conference expenses. That's why I can stand up here and say, if God has clearly spoken to you and said, well, don't give in this offering this morning, then don't give. But if He has spoken to you, just give. What He leads you to do and what you purpose in your heart. Praise God. The needs are met. Hallelujah.
In the nine gifts of the Spirit were they came in order. It's amazing that gifts of healings was listed before the mighty workings of miracles. It's also interesting that healings is plural. And I've often wondered about that gift. But then when I found out that it extended itself much further than the physical anatomy, that healing power reached down to the soul, roots, problems, strongholds. It has the power to just destroy them. It's just a moment of time. I could remember when he took mine. I was camping on some pretty good ones. I believe I wept 9 hours straight that day. Came out of it with a peace that just even scared Gary. But my house was burning down. I wanted to roast marshmallows. But he's here like that. He's here like that right now. And many times he'll do that just in preparation for what's coming. But you're here and you started weeping. You just can't seem to stop. Just ministered the Signs and Wonders class at ORU just last Tuesday. Three professors was there, two deans. The way he moved. This is you he's talking to. Why don't you just come up here? He said he wanted you to know just a little bit how much he loves you. And so he took the service right there. And the more you receive it, the more you're going to get. So he's starting early. It was in black and white in front of me and in Scripture, and I still couldn't see it. But when enough of me got out of the way that I couldn't believe what I saw. I never knew your Father loved you that much. I just didn't know. There was no way I could. When I started praying in tongues, I only stayed in the closet because one side of my nature from the world was stubborn. I don't know, I was in the third or fourth grade that I wore my teacher out because I wouldn't take a bite of cheese and gave up recesses. I mean, it was going into the months. She finally broke, not me. All I had to do was take one bite. Well, that's an attribute when it's turned to the faith side.
Yes,
hallelujah. To get some idea, the devil tried everything to get me to stop. And it was when I knew nothing. Praying in tongues. Consequently, the book was born. I wouldn't stop. Well, you say, how stubborn. How about this? I wore everybody out on the destroyer I stationed on. Then I wore them out at the base. I got a chance to be a lifeguard. I just had to pass a simple test. Think I didn't want to be laying around a pool watching people? It was fun. Wasn't saved yet. Anyway. One of the part of the test was that we had to hold our breath. We hadn't been able to hold it a certain amount of time, so they timed you. They said, okay, Hold your breath. So I did. Next thing I know, he's just right down in my face going, "You blacked out." I said, "What? You blacked out." It scared him a little bit. I said, "Yeah, well, how long?" He said, "You blacked out at 4 minutes." We talking stubborn? See, but guess where it's all turned? See, now he knows he can tell me to do something and I'll get it done or you'll find me dead there. Well, this one thing I know. He loves you. And if I've ever ran into anything that's stubborn about God, that's what it is. Want to heal you? That's an understatement.
For in my word I have said that in the last days, sin and iniquity would increase. And you are seeing it before your very eyes. Even those in my church who are weak in their spirits are being impacted by this. And many in my church are turning to forms of immorality to which they would never have turned years ago. But because the sin and the iniquity is increasing, they are being impacted and led astray. You're going to see many more led astray in the days to come. There are those of you in this place this night who are going to see Christians you know turn from God. It is going to break your heart. But I say to you, stand strong in me. For I alone am your strength and I alone can get you through. There has been a great spirit of fear released throughout this nation. Fear over the economy. Fear over the government. Fear over many things. But remember what I said in my word, that I have not given to you a spirit of fear. If you feel fear beginning to come over you because of things that are happening, it is not of me. Because the fear of me is accompanied by a holy presence of my love and my grace. There is a spirit of fear that is sweeping across this country. And here is why this spirit of fear has been released in great intensity. It's because in an atmosphere of fear, people do not think straight. They do not think clearly. And they make decisions that are wrong decisions. You have seen decisions made even in the last 2 months within the government that do not make sense to the logical mindset. It's because a spirit of fear is sweeping across this land and many more decisions are going to be made and you'll hear about them and you will think, this is so confusing, why would they do this? But it's because of this fear. This spirit of fear wants to impact my church because if this happens, if you succumb to it, you will end up making decisions that are contrary to my word and do not line up with the standards of my holiness. It is an attempt to draw you away from me. But I say to you, again, I have not given to you a spirit of fear. The atmosphere created in this place tonight was an atmosphere in which fear cannot inhabit. It is an atmosphere that will drive away fear. For in my presence, released through worship, there is a stability of thought that will begin to rise up within you. It is the mind of Christ rising up. And I say to you in the days to come, you need the stability of my presence and the mind of Christ operating you. And I say to you that my mind can operate in you in clarity. And you will think clearly, but it is so important for you to remember that worship is a key to operating with clarity of thought and the mind of Christ. For when you worship me out of your spirit and pour it out of the depths of your heart, it will create an atmosphere conducive for my holy presence. And that atmosphere will combat confusion. It will combat those high things that want to exalt themselves against the knowledge of me. So hear what I say to you. This spirit of confusion is operating in this nation, but it does not have to operate in your life. And as you begin to worship me, and you begin to operate with stability of thought and clarity of mind, operating by the mind of Christ, words that you speak will be words of wisdom birthed from my throne. And when you do this, the time will come when people will begin to seek you out to hear what you have to say, because they will detect in you there is no fear of what is happening. They'll want to know the source of your comfort, the source of your peace, the source of the stability. How can you be so calm when things are so bad? And you will be able to share with them the answer is Jesus Christ. Things look bad to many people in this nation. But you must understand that from my vantage point, yes, I see all of the bad things that are happening, but what I also see are fields that are ripe unto harvest. I see a great reaping that is about to take place in this nation. In fact, what you are going to see as a result of my church rising up and walking in my wisdom and my anointing and my glory, there are those that are now living in what you refer to as the gay community that are going to come out of that lifestyle and give their lives to Jesus Christ. And the reason is because they are going to begin to see the emptiness and the hollowness and the confusion of that lifestyle because of your intercession. Yes, hear me this night. Even because of what you have done this night, the worship that you have lifted up, I have been able to release through that worship my presence and my glory, and it spreads and it begins to touch people in the community. That is why these events are so important. So do not get discouraged and do not let a spirit of fear begin to come over you. Rise up above it. Walk in my peace. Walk in my glory. Worship me. Have my peace and stability of mind, and you will stand out among your families and your communities as one who has been touched by my power, says the Spirit of the Lord.
You know what this reminds me of, just watching y'all? This looks more like a family than a church. Y'all do know that real Christianity is not a religion. Real Christianity is a family. Hallelujah. That's why God and Abraham got along so well. Well, Abraham never set out to start a religion. He wanted children. He says, Abraham, you want children born of your own loins? God says, I want children born of my spirit. You and I should make a covenant. The end result, you'll get children born from your loins. But I'll eventually have children born of my spirit. Hallelujah. Hello, children. Hello, family. Hallelujah. Well, Jim asked me to exhort you over the offering just for a moment, and I just want to... I'll do that. It won't take more than an hour or so. So this is real dangerous, you know. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, and then you put a marker in 2 Corinthians 8. And I'm going to do this real quickly. That was quite a word that came forth a while ago. I want a transcript of that, Pastor. And there is a great shifting of wealth happening in the earth today. Not all of it is God, I'll just tell you right now. But I will tell you this too. Same testimony as Joseph, what the devil intended for evil, God will wind up turning it for good. Because part of what's going on, not all of it, how many of you know judgment begins at the house of God? Well, part of what's going on now, there's a judgment coming in the church at large that Peter even spoke of here in his writings. And he was really talking about the Old Testament first and how the Word of God came forth. So we'll pick it up here at the end of chapter 1 in verse Well, I always have trouble knowing where to start. I keep trying to find a place. I keep backing up and backing up, and I'll go, all right, Genesis 1, you know, because he starts off talking about the Mount of Transfiguration when he and the other two saw Jesus transformed, transfigured in his glory. And then let's pick it up there, starting in chapter 1, verse 16. He says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven, we heard it, when we were with Him in the holy mountain. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns, and the day star arises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Now, there really shouldn't be a chapter 2. He doesn't change the subject when he says, but. He's continuing based on that. He says, now, but there were false prophets also among the people. Now, he just got through telling you about the men who were telling the true word of God, moved by the Holy Ghost. They were bringing God's pure word. And it's been that way in every generation. You'll have a group where God's pure word is being taught without ulterior motives. But in every generation, just like then, so it is today. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And, now notice, not a few, many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. I said all that to get to this verse. And through covetousness, let's change it, and through greediness. Covetous, the word covet means lover of silver. Through covetousness, that's their motive, shall they with feigned words, the modern translation of that word feigned would be plastic. They're saying something that they don't mean. And there's a motive behind it, and it's called greed. With covetous, with feigned words, they make merchandise out of you. To them, you're not their brothers. You're not their sisters. You're not their family. You're not the Lord's sheep. You are merchandise. Bought and sold. Merchandise. He said that judgment, now of a long time, lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not. What have we been called to? In Tulsa, Dave says it this way. Yes, a revival of signs and wonders, but at the same time, a revival of doctrine. And that means a revival of truth, sanity, soundness of mind. And I'll tell you this also, the Holy Spirit's prophesied, along with that revival will come a revival of finances. Because in the age we live in, God's not going to wait for Dave and Jim Martin and myself and others for us to physically travel around the world, even though in airplanes that could be done faster than in Paul's day. But today we have the internet. Today we have tools where people can be watching live around the planet. The miracles can happen right there at the same time that they're happening in Tulsa. They can be happening around the world. So God has said, I am going to merge wealth with media so that this revival can spread more rapidly. Listen, how many of you know Jesus is coming soon? God is only waiting for one thing, and that's the precious fruit of the earth. Now, He's by His Spirit been giving us truth, and doctrine, and soundness of mind. and purifying the hearts. Hey, we're just humans like anybody else. We've had to submit to the fire of the Holy Ghost as He's purged and Smith. I've been rereading some Smith Wigglesworth books that I read years ago. He said, in the purging process, the fire is hot, and few there be that can stand the purging all the way to the end. We ought to emblazon that as a plaque over the door of the prayer center. Few there be. Many come excited about this message. Ah, mortification and edification, yes. The path is laid out for me. I can walk it if I want to, yes. And what you really means by that is you're going to yield yourself to the Holy Ghost as He purges everything out of you that's not like Jesus. Few there be that can endure the purging to the end. Now, that was my introduction. Go to 2 Corinthians 8 now. I want to show you something. This will just take a moment. Because I know that you're familiar with what's being taught currently on TV, and even as I say that, I hope someday Jim Martin's on TV. I hope Dave's on TV around the world. But when that happens, it's going to be truth without any ulterior modes of greed. But what I'm saying, I just want you, this is a quick little example he gave me. You know, one picture is sometimes worth a thousand words. Now, 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 is full of a lot of verses that are used at offering time. Let's look at a couple. Like 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse 6. Anyone ever hear this at offering time? But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Anyone heard those? It's in there, isn't it? There's no denying it's in there. All right, now how about verse 8? And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. How about verse 10? Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and there it is, multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now see, right now, that's when you're supposed to take the offering, after I have pumped your flesh and said, this is how you get more for you. But now let's just see, Pastor Dave taught us a dangerous thing. He taught us the laws of meditation. The first law of meditation is this: you don't ever. And that means not ever. And that means at no time, which means never, do you lift any of these verses out of their setting. So, since I only have a few minutes, now watch this. If we had time to do both chapters, let's summarize it like this. There was a famine going on in Jerusalem at the time, plus there was a lot of persecution. Well, most of the Christians living in Jerusalem were Jewish Christians. They had grown up under the law, but somebody had preached the gospel to them. And now they were under persecution because it wasn't, you know, you could get excommunicated from your family. Your father would say, well, you're no son of mine if you're going to follow this Jesus. I'm with Moses, you know. And so they were suffering persecution anyway. Well, then a famine occurred in that region of the world. So they were in dire trouble. They were in lack. So Paul, he's writing to all of the Gentile churches, like Philippi and Corinth and all of the other churches. And he's going, look, your Jewish brethren, your Jewish Christian brethren are suffering. And they don't have enough. And financially, they're really hurting. You're not in a famine right now. You should take a portion of your abundance and share with them. Sounds simple, doesn't it? And he said, now, at this time, your overflow will meet their need. Later on, you might be in trouble. But through this bond of brethren, they may have an overflow then that would meet your need. Isn't that simple? And he gave examples from the manna. He that gathered much had nothing left over. He that gathered little had no lack because there was a sharing. All right? So let's just demonstrate that with a picture. One picture is worth a thousand words. Now let's see. I need someone who looks kind of like one of the Jewish fathers here. I love that beard, brother. Come on up here. surely Abraham. Hallelujah. Now you can stand over on this side of the pulpit. Now this little glass represents, he has little. There's a famine going on. Let's just say this represents all the money that he has. And it's about enough to purchase the milk for the baby. They're in lack. Lack means not enough. Anyone ever have more month than you had money? You understand that? Well, they're in lack. Now I need a good, abundant, rich Gentile, so I'll pick Sandy. Come right on over here. And Sandy's living in a part of the world over in Corinth at the time, or could it be Philippi? They're not in famine, and they're not suffering the same level of persecution. And right now they have an abundance. They have more than they need. Now I'm going to represent Paul. Hey, if you're doing the teaching, you get to be Paul. And now look at each other. You two. No, not you guys. These two right here. Sandy, look at Abraham. Look at Abraham. Okay. So the instruction was real clear. Paul wrote a letter, and he's saying to the Corinthians, or to the Philippians, all of them, take some of your abundance, walk on over, and give him some of what you have. There you go. How simple is that? How much of it came to Paul? None of it came to Paul. In fact, if you're... Okay, Sandy, step back over. Now, Paul even sent two ministers and a third person to oversee the whole operation, to make sure that there was absolutely no blame. Nobody could accuse them of pilfering the money or taking anything. Paul himself never saw it at all. He sent these men, and they guaranteed that the money went like it should from the Gentile church to the Jewish Christians at the time. You got that? Now, let's look at what's happened in today's doctrine. Now, here's a brother over here in need. He's got milk money for the baby. They have no abundance. Now, what is the common TV doctrine? When you have a need, that letter would be to you. You need to sow a seed to meet your need. And he looks down, and all he's got is milk money. He goes, where would I sow it? Well, you would send it to my ministry. You need to sow it here. And then you just need to believe God for a harvest. And at the same time, there'd be another letter written over to those with abundance. Turn around, sir. Now, see, we are going to present to you this big problem, and we have DVDs and produced to show you the suffering over there. And rather than you just take the money directly, you should trust a ministry like ours. And you should also, see, because what you need to do is sow your bit, and you're not in lack, but you need to sow your best seed for your most abundant harvest. Oh, where would you send it? We'd be happy to receive that for you. And you'll trust us. We'll share. Does that sound to you like the way Paul did it? I call that giving turned upside down. And it's just a quick picture of how far the church has gotten away from the truth of the gospel. Now, that kind of stuff right there, when you... preacher standing in the pulpit telling somebody who's got money for the baby, and that's all they've got, that God will not help you unless you send the baby's milk money. They don't even know my father. They don't know my father at all. He is not like that. And no father I have ever known is like that. God's provision is by His grace. He taught them, we're going to get into more of that this week, but he taught them for 40 years in the wilderness. Every day they woke up and there was their bread for the day. Let me ask you, what seed can a man sow to reap a crop of manna? What was he teaching them? He could have designed it any way he wanted to. Why did he do it that way? He wanted them to understand, my provision is by my grace. I am your father. Don't be in fear. I will provide for you. Amen? Thank these Jewish and Gentile Christians. And hallelujah. Now, let me say one other thing. It's up to Jim, but we may do an offering at every service. The idea is not to milk you for every dollar. Okay? The idea is, you know, some people can only attend one or two services, and that's the only opportunity they have. Now, when I first started attending conferences, which was 1980 when Sue and I got saved, I didn't know how they did it. I didn't know they were going to take, you know, the first one I went to, I gave all that I had. And then 2 hours later, they're having another meeting and took up another offering. So I learned right away, well, however many meetings I'm going to, I took how much money I had, I divided it by those in the number of meetings because I didn't want to appear not to give. We're not asking you to do that. We're not expecting you to do anything like that. But part of it is give an opportunity to teach some sound doctrine, to teach some things, and also for those that have, you know, who didn't have an opportunity, or just for whatever reason, if you want to give, give. But we're not trying to milk every dollar out of you. You got that? Hallelujah. Just bow your head for a moment. I only know two ways to give in the New Testament. I really do. One is as a steward of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when it comes right down to it, He only has our hands to write out a check. He doesn't have any hands on planet Earth to give into any offering but ours. So if you listen and He speaks an amount to you as His steward, He'd say, I'd like for you to give this into the offering. Then that's what you ought to do. And sometimes I hear Him do that. And Sue and I do our best to obey Him when we hear Him. But I don't hear Him every time like that. So the other New Testament way, it tells you right there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, let every man purpose in his own heart what he'd like to give. Not by necessity. What does that mean? Not by law. Not by law. God's looking for gifts from cheerful hearts who want to give it. If you need an offering envelope, raise your hand. You can make checks out to GCC. And the usher, where's the ushers? Ushers come and... How do you do it, Jim? Is that how you do it? Pass out the offerings? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I don't know. So the offerings envelopes are behind the seat. So you can go ahead and prepare those. And as they come, then place your offering in these buckets. Hallelujah. So I'll give you a moment to write out the check. Father, we just thank you right now for everything that's going to be done this week. Father, I thank you for the healings that happened this morning already. Father, we're just trusting you by your Spirit. Lord, this is your conference. We just work here. Father, bless your people this week. Father, I know your hand of blessing is already on them. I know there's people in here that want to give so much more than they have. Father, just like the widows might, Lord, you're looking at what's in their heart, not what's in their hand. Bless them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, some things belong to God.
Yes.
In all. It's just one of those things.
Amen.
And when Jim talks about worship of every kind, private, corporate, what he's telling you is the truth. Private worship. When you were born again, you actually received an unlimited capacity to reservoir, to pool the love of God in your nature. Unlimited. What private worship does, it opens a conduit where the love can flow from Him to you. And the truth is, you could try for a millennial. You can't get God to love you a stitch more than He already does. Well, I think He loves the Apostle Paul more than me. He can't. He's no respecter of persons. It would be impossible. Impossible. Well, then what's the reward, mate? It's not how much He loves you. It's based more on how much you loved Him. Now, His love for you was maxed at the cross. There wasn't any more to give. He gave it all. I tell you what you can't do. You can stop and find out how to receive more of the love He's always loved you with. This is one of the ways. Praying in tongues is a foundational revelation gift. When you need the major key that brings the most change to your life, then that's when the Holy Spirit brings that key and unlocks. And then that adds to your life as you grow. Fasting, assimilation, meditation, And then when the time, he'll put that key of worship on, and you'll find out that has everything in the whole world to do with the love of God. See? So when you worship, then you literally open the conduit. And that love begins to flow from His Spirit to your. Reservoir. Unlimited. Now, here's some keys the love of God holds. No fear. No fear. Perfect love. Perfecting love casts out fear. Why do you think John outlived everybody? Why would Jesus say, John behold my mother? Why would he give her John? Why did he live real long? Well, how about the commandment? Honor your father and mother. What did he have? Can you have it? Whatever he's made available to you, can have what you want. Hallelujah. So, you know, I don't mind saying I'm hungry for him. I can even sing that I'm hungry for you. Nobody helps me much, but I can. Why don't we worship just a little bit? Thank you, Jesus. Listen. Sometimes God orchestrates a meeting. Gets involved with it before. And he'll bring certain people. Whatever he has to do in answer to people's prayers, he'll fix things where they end up here. One reason he does that with me is because he knows that I can hear him and that I've got a mouth. And sometimes he wants to say something to him, so he does. He doesn't care how long it takes to orchestrate, set something up, but you pray for somebody. You pray for somebody. He's going to go after them. See, that's all that heaven needs. Why would he say, pray the Lord of the harvest? I mean, he wants them saved more than you do. So what's your involvement in it? What does he need from you? He's the head. You're the body. You're the one that's got the authority. It's your mouth. When I found out that there's a place in him that's called done, and I could take people there. I used to want to take things there and get them. When I found out how serious it was, I took people. Dropped them off. Left them. And one thing I love about God, He never sleeps, so there's no use both of us staying up with the problem. And He never worries. So I guess I waste my time if I do. I started with our oldest living aunt, and I didn't even know where she was, just heard it was somewhere in New Mexico, and that was just something I was doing. I didn't know how to start, so I started with her. And I dropped her off with God and just walked away with such a finality. He had the problem, not me. Well, this is the circumstances that unwound as a couple of years went by. got a letter to the office from a gal named Carol Klatt. She had two brothers, Henry and Phil. We lived on White Road on our farm. Carol was about 9, 10, just that age for their tattletales. She caught, the good Baptist family caught, me and Henry and Phil hiding behind the car smoking Grandpa's cigars. Well, little big mouth Carol ran and told Mama. Wasn't very nice after that. Carol writes a letter because I just had a meeting with I was in Charisma magazine. Advertised with Marilyn Hickey, I think. So I did a camp meeting with Marilyn. Carol read that. She says, is that the same Dave Roberson that lived on White Road and her mother, Jewel? She said, trust me, daughter, it's not him. So they said, I think you better call this one. I said, I think so. So I called her, and she says, are you him? And I said, I'm he. She said, oh, my God, what happened? You don't understand, see? Well, she said, you coming around here? I said, around where? It just so happened that they didn't live too far from Tucson, Arizona, where I was carrying on a 6-week meeting. It turned out it just wouldn't stop. So Carol came and Jewel, her good Baptist mother. There was about 200 filled with the Holy Ghost. And so they was in. There they were. She said, oh, I'm Carol and this is my mother. They was up in the line to get filled with the Holy Spirit. And so they said, you got any relatives around? I said, I think we have some. Artesia, somewhere there. So this was her story then. She went back to Artesia and found my oldest living aunt in a rest home and got her born again on her deathbed. How do you orchestrate that? Uncle was the next one up. Well, I was calling all around to find him. Come to find out he's in the town I was having the meeting in across an alley. It goes on like that, you know. But I said that to say this. You pray for somebody, you'll go after them. And somebody's praying for you. It goes after you. But I can tell you what's been holding your life back and the things that you're wanting to move forward in. Now, sometimes I hate to do this, but do you think I have a choice choosing what I'll do and what I won't and say, give me the good stuff? No. But there's somebody here, you're harboring something. It's called a real strong unforgiveness base to it, and it's just been destroying you. If you knew what that kind of thing does to you, you'd let it go in a minute. Now, the name of this is let's make a spectral life out of somebody. That's not the name of it. You're the name of it. He loves you. If he has to take a whole service to get you past it, that's what he'll do. But I can give you a choice. It would be up to you. You could come up here. You could come up here and everything's going to come together. And he'll do something that he's not here to bring a reproach or cause a spectacle of some kind. He's just after you. So if you came up here, that would be good. But if you didn't, it didn't mean he still wouldn't move. So he wants this, and I couldn't go on until he does it. Do you understand? He loves you. Remember in Brazil, he went after somebody that had killed someone. And he came. He came. He drove all night to get there. He'd kill somebody. God met him that day. Anyway, everybody stand up for a moment, please. For so many people to do things the hard way, that if they'd come to me, they could do things my way. For doing things the hard way, they always try to fix the problems themselves. You need to learn how to cast the whole of your care over onto me, so I can lavish my care upon you. For your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh those who are full of care, that he may devour them. Come to me, you that labor heavily. Cast your care and find out that I am a life full of joy and peace to be lived, saith the Lord. Most of you and most places understand very little about family, as in my family, saith the Lord. Understand very little about how I would oversee, how I'd treat you. If you could let me in according to my word, which I've given to you, hear what the Spirit would say. For the same love, who can word it this way? Jesus said it, John, and this is what he's saying, for you love them, that's you, with the same love that you love me. For most fall far short because they can't believe inside that I have this for them. Ekosiji. Hubietwa. Hubueta. Hubueta. Suma kueskitici. Dasa isa. Ma kuesubia sediente. Diwa. Instruction for to come to me in these places of rest and peace. Come to me. Come to me. Start by what you know. For have I not continually given you instructions how to move forward in the things of my Spirit? Hear what the Spirit would say. For my desire is for your fellowship with me, saith the Lord. For my desire is for that fellowship with you now, before you come home to be with me. So stand up and tall, knowing. So stand up tall, knowing that here you're more than conquerors. So yoke up with me, for you are more than a conqueror, and your voice shall be heard and needed in these last days, saith the Lord.